How lovely to see everybody. Thank you for offering to allow us to come and speak to you a little bit about healing this morning. Are you sitting comfortably? You'd have to be my age to understand that one. Then I'll begin. I can assure you that I've written all this up, and even yesterday I was revising it because God gave me some more things to either add to it. It is big writing, by the way, so if you see me keep turning the pages, you'll know that it's because I'm moving on quickly. How many of you watch Bridge of Lies on television? Anybody seen it? Program on television? Quiz program? Well, for those that don't know, it's where contestants are given a range of categories where they go across a bridge and they have to step on the truths and avoid the lies. And this week I was reading yet another book on healing, keeping the old memory going, when the Lord suddenly impressed on me that that program was very significant. It was a sort of revelatory word. And so as we share the word this morning, what God wants us to bring, I think what we're going to need to do is step and stand on the truths and avoid Satan's lies. So that's the plan for this morning. In the time we've got today, and I look as I've timed this to perfection because it's 5 to 11, which is when I wanted to start going. We've learned, Ralph and I have learned over the years, that the healing ministry, it's huge. We're continually learning about God's ways, plans, purposes for his body. It's like a diamond. It's got many, many facets. And in the short time we've got today, I can only hope to give you a snapshot of the breadth and scope of the healing ministry, but also standing on the word, the authority that we have as believers. So where do we go from here? I'm sure you'll know this one. Let's start at the very beginning, because it's a very good place to start. Excellent. I'm glad somebody's with me this morning. We're all on a journey, aren't we, when we're in the Lord? It doesn't matter when we come to faith in Jesus. We can bring with us, though, all kinds of hurts, wounds, problems, different life experience, cultures, theologies, upbringing, backgrounds, all of which can mean that there are deep-seated issues and things in us that can affect our spiritual, emotional and physical health, spirit, soul, body, and our well-being, of course. And all these can be a barrier to our growth and maturity in the Lord. But we have some promises, as Jesus came so we can have life and have it in abundance. Do I hear an amen? And he gives life to our mortal bodies. Now, it wouldn't be Rob and I coming to speak today if we didn't pose you a few questions. Some might say challenges, just a few questions. Does Jesus still heal today? Yes. Do you have enough understanding of what God did on the cross for us all? And is there enough of God's word firmly planted in you to bring about your own and others' healing? Sadly, over the years, there's been a lot of misteaching, a lot of misunderstanding, perhaps, that the healings and miracles that Jesus performed when he walked on this earth were for then and not for today. But Hebrews tells us he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And many of you will know that healing is a spiritual gift. And I don't remember that the gifts of healing or any of the gifts of the Spirit were assigned to any particular period of time or history. So let's have a little look at the origins of sickness then. We need to go back to the Garden of Eden, to the fall. You all know this. When Satan manifests as a serpent, came into the garden, tempting Adam and Eve, it opened the door, didn't it, for sin, sickness and death to come in. But they had choice, which is what we still have today. We can choose to follow God, we can choose to be dependent on him and his word, or we can choose to be independent and listen to Satan and live in the secular world. And none of us are without sin. None of it's a little bit like a tightrope, you know, you walk along a bit and then you fall off and you repent and you get back on and it's a, once again, we're on that journey. The same battle goes on today. It's a battle for the mind. That's where the battleground is. They've got Satan pulling one way, the enemy, and God pulling the other. So what did God do? Of course he sent his son, didn't he? Jesus, often known or called the second Adam, to put right what was lost in Eden. The first thing was communication with God, because we all know that Adam walked and talked, don't we, in the garden with God personally, had a personal line to God, and also to make reparation or atone for the sins of the world. We all know Jesus went to the cross, 100% God, 100% man, and every lash he took on him made a deep cut as he became the bearer of all our sins, our sickness, our diseases, our transgressions, which of course cost him his life for us to be saved, healed, transformed and delivered. He paid the price, didn't he, for our freedom. Isaiah 53 tells us he was wounded for our transgressions, buried for our iniquities. He bore our punishments, and by his stripes we are healed. Not will be, not might be, we are healed. Some would say we're healed because he did it, and we're claiming that right. You'll all know Psalm 103. He forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases. That's another promise. Do you have another amen? Amen. Now, it is God's will for all of us to live in divine health to a ripe old age. Moses lived to 120. Can we do the same? I don't know about you, but I think the pension service might have something to say about that. But when he went to the cross, he left us with the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, but also, of course, he was the great physician. So for us, his believers, his followers, what has he given us? What has he left us with? Anointing, power, and authority. Authority to go out, heal the sick, raise the dead, and drive out demons. It's a command. We're commanded to heal the sick, not just pray for them. Now, Rob and I chose today not to speak too much about our calling to the healing ministry, because it's not about us. Any of this is not about us, because we can't heal anybody. But just as an aside, just a little overview, we're blessed with overseeing around 45 healing ministries across the UK and growing. We pray for people across the world through various partnerships and worldwide ministries. We run the telephone healing prayer line, and when we've got a minute, we might just pray for the odd one or two people that ring up on the telephone at home. So whether we call them guests when they come for healing, we call people guests. If you want to know more about how we got into the healing ministry, we'd be happy to talk about it perhaps on another occasion and about the healing rules. But we felt it was important today to talk about standing on God's word and having the authority. So when guests come for prayer ministry, and we've got Bournemouth healing rooms this evening, whether it's on the telephone, whether it's by Zoom, in our experience of praying for hundreds of people over the years, the biggest problems we come across are these. Doubt. God won't heal me. I don't think God will heal me. I'm like doubting Thomas, got to see the nails. God won't heal me. Oh, he's not willing. God's not willing. God is always willing. oh, I'm unworthy. God will not heal me because I'm not worthy. I don't know God well enough. And one of the biggest things we come across is not knowing or using that power and authority that's been invested in us by what he did on the cross. Some say, oh, he's doing this, I'm ill because he's going to teach me a lesson. But it's also knowing who we are in him, what he did for us, who we are in him. And one of the biggest ones is fear. Fear of driving, fear of heights, fear of cancer, fear of illness, fear of this, that and the other. It's one of the biggest things that we find that people come in with. Fear-mongering through the media. You only look at what happened with COVID when, you know, the media, I mean, we won't go there today. I don't think that's a big hot potato. But possibly one of the biggest fears is the fear of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm going to start manifesting. The demons are going to come out of me. And so it goes on. But freedom from the power of sickness is a choice that many have not grasped or not chosen to walk in. Which means that we've been robbed of our inheritance. That's our inheritance. We must get hold of it. So we find that a lot of our ministry time is taken up with teaching people God's ways, words, and promises. Now, before you shoot the messenger, there may be reasons for this. We might forget, perhaps don't realize, haven't been taught, don't think about it. And unlike other religions, of course, and that's always interesting when we get people from other religions or faiths coming for healing, because they do, we get Hindus, we get Muslims. The same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And we serve a living Saviour, unlike other faiths. And Scripture tells us we've been given the divine authority to heal. Speak to sickness, command it to go. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name. So the simplest prayer we can say is, in the name of Jesus, it's command, be healed. And there are a lot of children's ministries in the United States, and children from so big go up and pray over people, and they say, be healed in the name of Jesus, and they're healed. And so, you know, that childlike faith that they have is being used, and we're hoping eventually to start something in England with children. Now, we're told in Matthew 17:20 that if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, we can speak to that mountain and it will be removed. You know this. He spoke the world into being, didn't he? And that there is life and death in the power of the tongue. So back to our reading about the centurion. Jesus spoke the word, sent it forth to accomplish that for which he intended it. We can do the same. God is omnipresent. We can stand in the gap, can't we, and pray for people that are not here or at a distance. And we can speak to our own sickness and command it to go. And that's something that we often forget to do or don't do, or once again haven't been taught. Speak to your sickness, speak to your problem, command it to go. You've got the authority, use it. In partnership with the Holy Spirit, we've been given tools to activate that power and authority. So we have to have faith. We often suggest that people worship, play songs, hymns, worship music in their home, cleanse and sanctify themselves unto the Lord, sanctify their environment. We've got the Word of God, we can pray the Word of God, and it's relationship, not religion. We have a relationship, a personal relationship with the Lord. The more we understand that, and the spiritual side of sickness, the more we can cooperate with God's will for us. Hebrews tells us that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, cuts through bone and marrow. Marrow, Yorkshire accent, marrow. And when we pray scripture over someone, It can cut through all manner of things. This is my favourite saying. The Word of God has the ability to accomplish itself. I'll repeat that. The Word of God has the ability to accomplish itself. It is alive, it's active, and being proven for generations. And we know His Word will not return void. Now, all sickness will have a root, and that root has to be brought out by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as we pray for people, you've got one ear here, Ralph's got a little story about that, and one ear on the Holy Spirit. So we listen to the person, what it is the problem is, and we're listening to the Holy Spirit with the other ear for a word of knowledge. And that helps us get to the root of the problem and gives us an idea, the two coming together, how to pray for people. Some hurts are so deep, people don't realise they're there until they're revealed through prayer. They can then be cut off using the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and so on. Now we come to the thorny bit. Why some people are healed and some are not will always be a mystery. He is the healer, not us. He will heal in His time, in His way, and for His purposes. And when we pray for someone, the healing may not be outwardly visible. It can be sometimes be days. People come and ring us up days later and say, oh, by the way, you prayed for us the other day, and I'm seeing a difference. The healing has started. Last Friday, we were on the telephone line, and a lady rang in. I'm just trying to remember what she wanted now. Can you remember, Rob? So,
she was feeling nauseous.
Nauseous, and yeah, the doctor prescribed something. She was in a bit of a state. And on the telephone, of course, you've only got a few minutes to pray for somebody. And then half an hour later, she rang back and said, I'm feeling a lot better now. Thank you for that. So, you know, it's just waiting sometimes. It doesn't always happen at once. But we mustn't get disappointed or despondent if we pray and pray and pray. We have people come week in, week out, day in, day out on the telephone lines, on the Zoom, whatever. And we see nothing, to be honest. You see nothing. And then suddenly, when one of God's suddenlies, they'll say, oh, by the way, thank you for that, I've been healed. We had a lady come to the Bournemouth Healing Rooms about three months ago now, with fibromyalgia. And 7 days after, she sent us a note saying, I am completely healed of fibromyalgia. And the doctors, if anybody here has medical knowledge, know that that's not easily curable. If people are doing something that is not of God, then that obviously can take time to work its way through. We live in a fallen world. The flesh is weak or mortal. It does get sick, and I have to say, sadly, sometimes illness is unto death. I've got a friend who lives in Chichester, and she says, I give in then. What's so wrong with heaven anyway? But only He knows the time and place of our passing. So while we're on this earth, like the woman with the issue of blood who kept pressing through to reach the hem of His garment, we can keep doing that. We can ask, seek, knock. We don't have to put up with stuff. Last night, this morning I came here, I had a really bad back. The enemy was having a real go at me this morning. It's gone now. Jenny and Ralph, Alec, boy, prayed for me. It's gone. Fine. So, you know, you have to press through, and it's the same with a lot of this. There are blockages to healing. There are barriers to healing. When we train healing teams, we ask them to list out how many blockages they think there are. And the most we ever got was 20. And that was in Hastings, when we trained our team in Hastings. And it could have been because one of the ladies that runs it is a GP, I don't know. I don't know whether that was a turn or not. But we could give you a list of 80 blockages and barriers to healing. And I've given you a few earlier. To understand and grow in this gift of healing. It's important to have a teachable spirit and to feed on God's word. Study those that have gone before, who have powerful healing ministries. Smith Wigglesworth, John Wimber, so on. And Ralph and I have done so many courses, I can't begin to tell you. And if you saw our library of healing books, you'd probably be amazed. But we can't heal anybody. Our job is to pray, and he does the rest. Miracles are instant, often, and healing is a journey. It can be a process. A bit like an onion, peeling away the layers that may have been buried over the years. We're nearly there. Some people that come for healing might have a combination of things. It come a number of headings. They might be generational. They might have come down the family line. You'll know these days, a doctor will say, as you might imagine, as your dad had it, you know, and so on. Relationships is a big one. Unforgiveness, a lot of unforgiveness. Financial, emotional, trauma. People go through amazing lots of trauma. Death, divorce. And all these things affect our physical well-being. We deal a lot these days with depression, with anxiety. And I'm sad to say that in the last probably 2 months at the healing rooms and on the telephone, because Alex works on the telephone with us, we've had 4 people suicidal. And that takes quite a bit of handling. Now, we never tell anybody to come off medication, because God has given doctors knowledge. And they work together, often. God and the doctors working together. So we never tell anybody, if anybody ever tells you to come off medication from a healing ministry, take no notice of it, because we have heard people doing it before. Being called to the healing ministry is such a privilege, such a blessing, and a responsibility. Because we're given permission to speak into people's lives in confidential circumstances and share their innermost problems. It's our desire, the four of us, we've worked together quite a bit, that everyone will find healing and wholeness and freedom. But our calling is to help those struggling with life challenges. We must have an attitude of gratitude. Thank God for what he has done, is going to do. The worst thing I think I would want to hear when I get to the other side is, away from me, I don't know you. So that's so important. But I'll leave you with this thought. In all things he works for the good. And he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. Amen.